Welcome to Smashing the Plateau. We help you get unstuck so you can do what you love and get paid what you're worth. I'm your host, David Schreiner Khan.
It got me thinking, how can I prevent this from happening again next summer? So now I have three different ways that people can work with me.
Today on episode 445 of Smashing the Plateau, I'm here with publicity strategist Tara Bradford. I'm going to ask Tara how she builds trust quickly, what kind of investment generates publicity to drive leads for thought leaders, how she builds consistent revenue in her business, and much more. You can read a description of our discussion, information about Tara, including links and resources we mentioned in this episode on our website at smashingtheplateau.com. What would you like to hear on Smashing the Plateau? Email me and let me know. That's david@smashingtheplateau.com. Or click Get in Touch on our website, smashingtheplateau.com. Thank you for taking the time to listen to our show. Remember to subscribe on whatever platform you listen on and leave a review if you can. Now let's welcome Tara Bradford. Tara is a publicity strategist, reputation designer, and communications expert. She incorporates her background in cognitive neuroscience, biochemistry, psychology principles, emotional intelligence, and neurolinguistics to help individuals develop a strong personal brand that is in integrity with who they are so they can build a global audience of the exact people who need to hear their message. Tara has worked with a range of people from startup founders to Fortune 500 executives to help them become the face of their companies, increase their visibility, take ownership of their influence, so it can be used to make a difference and build credibility online. Her work has been featured in Forbes, HuffPost, Thrive Global, Bustle, Talk Radio NYC, TEDx Lincoln Square, and more. Tara, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, David. I'm really excited to be here.
Me too. I'm glad that you're on. So Tara, you started your career as a registered nurse. How did you go from nursing to publicity strategist?
That's a great question, and it's one that I get quite a bit. So as a critical care nurse, I spent a lot of time helping families communicate with one another. And I think publicity is similar because public relations to me is any interaction that you have with another person where they have the opportunity to decide whether they want to know you, whether they like you, and whether or not they trust you. And through the work that I did with families who were going through tragedies, I had to learn how to build trust with them really fast and how to support them in their decision-making moving forward with really tough decisions. And so the background of the publicity piece is, as a trauma critical care nurse, I woke up every evening because I worked at night, and I would watch the 5 o'clock news before work every single day. And I wasn't looking for the bright, happy stories. I was watching the stories about who had been in a car accident, who had fallen off of a building or gotten shot, or what tragic things had happened to people that day while I was sleeping. And who was I going to meet that evening when I went into work? And so my first thought every day as I was drinking my coffee, getting ready for work, was, I hope nobody dies today, every single day. And I didn't realize what that was doing to me subconsciously until later, but it really affected how I saw everything in my life. And so when I left that job, I stopped watching the news. And when I started my business, I initially started out as a personal brand strategist and coach. And I ended up getting a lot of publicity for myself around the idea of how other people see you doesn't always match how you see yourself and how you can bridge that gap. So in 2017, I was featured in the media every 2 weeks for an entire year. And people started asking me, will you do publicity for me? You're so good at it. And I thought back to my experience as a nurse, and initially I had a lot of resistance around it. And I thought I could never do PR because it means that I need to be around all of the stuff in the media that's so negative. And then I realized it's really about building professional relationships with people and connection and the contribution you can make to society by sharing your ideas and sharing your message. And once I made that switch, I really stepped into it and realized this is what I'm really good at. And it is something that I enjoy doing when I have a strong purpose behind it.
Mm. Yeah. So let's go back to actually the beginning of this discussion when we talked about the clues to being able to develop trust with somebody very quickly.
Sure.
What do you think the basic ingredients are to be able to do that?
One of the most important things is listening. I think listening more than you speak and asking clarifying questions where you can be curious about what is meaningful to the other person was, if I only gave one piece of advice, that was the thing that probably created the most trust for people. Because so often when we give people advice, we're looking at it, the situation or the question, through the lens of our own experience. And the only way you can really begin to remove your bias is by asking questions and trying to see things through another person's perspective and lens. And so for me, when it was a life or death situation, it was really important for me not to project my own beliefs about life and death onto someone else's decision that they had to live with for the rest of their life. And I didn't, potentially. I mean, in the back of my mind, if something bad happened, I would feel bad about that for a long time. But ultimately, it was not my family member or my decision to make.
Yeah, and I think that's a really important perspective to have in such a situation. I can't tell you how many times I've heard from people who have been in the situation of the people that you were providing care for in your work as a nurse, that they have received advice from the medical team, from individuals on the medical team, about what they should do and what decisions they should make in these life or death situations with their family members that have really made them uncomfortable. I'm thinking about one actually that happened to somebody I know quite well just a few weeks ago, where the family received advice without clarifying questions, the kinds of clarifying questions you just described, and also conflicting advice from different members of the medical team. And I know not only how confusing it was to the members of the family that heard it, it also made it that much more difficult for them to actually make the difficult decisions they had to make.
Absolutely. I can see how that would be really confusing for them. And one of the things that I did as a nurse, because I feel like I spent the most time with the families, I was there for 12 hours and teaching and communicating and asking questions and getting to know them. One of the best questions I think I was able to ask them was, what would this person have wanted? Because not only was I removing my bias, but I was removing theirs as well, as being the person responsible for deciding what happens to that person, the person who can't decide for themselves because they're on life support or they're very ill and not able to decide. So a lot of times we don't have those conversations with our family members. We don't, it's a pretty negative conversation to think about the end of your life and to plan for that ahead of time. But I think when you look at someone's life as a whole and you say, what was meaningful to them was being able to walk and run and pick up their grandchildren and hold them in their arms. Is that something that if they survive this incident or this illness, if they weren't able to do that ever again, but they could sit in a wheelchair and you could set their grandchildren in their lap, would that be enough? What would be enough for life to still be meaningful to this person?
Yeah, certainly a difficult question for you as the caregiver to ask. But I would imagine that asking the question that way rather than offering a particular advice about what the family member should do or not do in that circumstance would be a game changer.
Right. Yeah, and that was a place, that was a great starting point. And then whatever they came up with there, we could reverse engineer, work backwards to what was happening medically, information they needed to know from the care team and the physicians that were involved in the care, and then writing down questions for them to ask the doctors to clarify the information that they were receiving.
So, Tara, do you use the same kind of clarifying question methodology in your work now as a publicity strategist?
I do. I ask a lot of questions. I do a lot of listening, and I find out what the expectations are of the person that I'm working with. And a lot of times they have misconceptions about what publicity is. And they come to me and they think, I want all those logos on my website because that's going to bring me clients. And really, when you get to the bottom of it, people just want to drive more traffic to their business. And if they've had publicity in the past, sometimes that conversation becomes, well, I've already tried this and it didn't work. And when I ask more questions about why they don't feel like it was working, it comes down to the ROI and what were they getting out of the publicity that they received.
Yeah, that makes sense. Who do you ideally work with? What kinds of clients?
I work with personal brands and individuals who want to be the face of their company. They're usually thought leaders, aspiring best-selling authors. They probably want to do a TEDx talk in the future that's on their business bucket list. And they want to be known for their ideas and build a legacy around an idea that has shaped their company and what they're doing that is helping solve a global problem.
And what kind of publicity is most beneficial to people like that?
It depends on the individual. It depends on what they're selling. Mostly, if they have a small ticket item like a book or an online course or something that they could sell to a large audience and they are just looking to drive traffic to that product, then having television coverage, local or national, could be really great for that person. And they'll notice, they'll be able to follow in their metrics spikes in sales right after the segment airs on their website. If there's someone who's selling a higher ticket item and their audience is more niche, then something like a digital publication, a guest blog, a podcast could be a better way to target specific people in an audience who would benefit from that higher ticket item. So it varies from person to person. A lot of people that I work with have both. They have a high ticket item and a lower ticket item, and they want to leverage both and see the connection between how one leads into another. So if you're looking at it like a funnel, you want to bring people into the lower ticket item first so they start to know you, like you, trust you, and want to invest in you more, and then get them to that higher ticket item.
Right. So the strategy in that case would be focused on getting the publicity for the lower ticket item.
Right. To get people into the funnel, especially a colder audience who hasn't heard of you before and they don't really know you. That's more likely that they'll purchase an $18 book on Amazon than a $5,000 program where they're working with you one-on-one if they've never heard of you before.
Tara, do you find that there are a lot of options for clients in the space that you're dealing with, the established brands and the thought leaders, that there are a lot of options for them in terms of how much they need to invest in order to get a return on their investment in publicity?
I think that it depends on who they're working with and what their goals are. So if you hired a public relations agency that was going to do PR for you, typically, the minimum amount of time you engage with them is 3 months, and you work with a company that has established relationships with the people in your industry. So you have to kind of strategize that ahead of time and think about who you want to reach out to. If you're in the technology industry, then you want to work with a PR agency that has contacts in, for example, Fast Company or a publication that speaks to that audience. If you are in health and wellness, that's a whole separate niche. Fashion, there's a lot of PR agencies that serve very specific industries. And so that's kind of what you're looking at if you hired an agency. I do publicity strategy where I teach people how to become their own publicists and do it themselves so that they can get the same ROI that I got from being featured every 2 weeks for an entire year. But they're kind of in control of how that goes. And I don't think you have to invest 12 months in it because I started seeing results after 6 months. And my program is 8 weeks long, and a lot of people see results in the first 2 weeks where they're getting featured in the media and they're starting to see more traffic going to their website. And so I think it depends on your goals. A targeted strategy with a PR agency would be great if you're celebrating your book launch and it's time specific or time sensitive, and the book is released one day and the next week you want to be seen everywhere all at once. That's a great time to work with an agency. If you're not launching anything specific and it's more just creating organic traffic and directing it to your website over a longer period of time, and you're not promoting any one thing specifically, just your company in general, then spreading it out over 3, 6, 12 months is more appropriate. And consistency in anything that you do, whether it's PR, marketing, advertising, I think giving that at least 3 to 6 months to start working is one of the most important things you can do, and just be consistent. And a lot of times people I work with, if anyone's taken the Colby assessment, I work with a lot of quick starts who start doing something, they go all in, it starts working, and then they walk away from it and they go and do something else because it started working. And so when you talk about plateaus, I think one key to smashing the plateau is to keep doing what's working and not get restless when you hit a plateau, even though it feels like a plateau. You're actually on a new level and you're successful and you're probably making money that you weren't making before. And so really acknowledging that you've gotten to that space is important, and then understanding that the more you do the same thing that's working, the more results you're going to get.
Right. So patience and perseverance are key.
Yes.
What's the ideal state for people to be in when a program like yours might be most helpful?
Typically, I start working with people who have a consistent word of mouth referral system set up. Their clients are referring people to them. Maybe they have a few strategic partners that they refer business back and forth to. They get their clients from networking events, maybe, and they're ready to reach a larger audience, or they're moving their business from brick and mortar to online to expand it. That's typically when people reach out to me to start working together. And just to give you a little bit of background on the different levels of knowing you, liking you, and trusting you, people will trust you the most at the word of mouth stage. If a friend refers you to something or introduces you to somebody, you automatically trust them because you feel like that friend vetted them for you and you trust your friend. So now you trust that third party person that they've introduced you to. The second level of trust is public relations. It's earned media. It's not necessarily something that you can pay for. I know there's certain things with SEO where you can pay for backlinks and things like that. But for the most part, if someone's interviewing you on a TV show or a news channel or for a digital publication, they've done a little bit of research on you ahead of time to make sure that you are the appropriate person to be interviewing for that. You are the expert in the thing that you're talking about. They wouldn't just have anybody on the show. And so that's another level of trust where you're being vetted and researched by somebody else. And the people watching already trust that TV channel, news station, podcast host, editor. They already trust that publication. And so they're going to trust you because they feel like someone they trust has vetted you. The next level, which kind of goes hand in hand with my program, I talk a little bit about marketing, but I would say marketing comes next because you can hire a copywriter or a content marketer to help you with your content and to write things for you. And they try their best to write it in your voice, but you're still hiring them, you're paying for that. And there's the potential to have a disconnect between who you are online and who you are in person, where someone could read your content and think that your writing is beautiful and they really connected to it. But if you're a shy introvert and they meet you in person and you sound different in person than you do online, then it kind of breaks down that trust that they spent so much time investing in you online, and they might not become a client later if they meet you in person and it doesn't match. So whenever you're thinking about working with someone in marketing, it's important that they really understand your brand so that they can get it right and people know you online the same way they know you in person if you're speaking at an event. And then advertising is last. Advertising is 100% paid. It's designed to make people buy things. And so if you notice on social media, when people are scrolling through their phones, they're not stopping on every single post to read it anymore if they're on their newsfeed. They scroll until they see something familiar and then they go back to it. So they're probably not even seeing the ads because they don't really trust the ads. And now there's those Facebook pixels where you go and shop for one thing online and then it follows you to social media and you start seeing it everywhere. And people think of that now as like a pop-up ad. They just ignore it because they're so desensitized to seeing it. And so when you think about building trust, I think that you should be in the word of mouth PR cusp before you start working with me and really want to build your business out towards advertising. Or you started with advertising and you realize that your market is not really that warm and they come and buy one thing, but then they never come back to buy anything else. You might have done things backwards and your funnel was upside down and you now want to start building that word of mouth referral system and scaling word of mouth referrals through public relations. Hopefully that answered your question about when people come to me.
Yep. And these are all important strategies and tactics to keep in mind as you're trying to get more traffic in the door.
Absolutely.
Tara, I want to go back to something you said previously about consistency and actually ask you about how you achieve consistency in your own business, particularly when it comes to revenue, because I know that's one of the struggles that so many small business owners that are in the thought leadership or advisory space have. What's worked well for you?
The thing that works the best for me is planning out my year 12 months in advance and creating a system of launches that follows my typical sales cycle for people. And when I say that, I actually learned this the hard way. Summer is a really slow month for me. And I found myself last summer with 3 months of no new clients coming in, no new leads, no traffic, and a few clients who wanted to take the summer off because they wanted to travel and go on vacation and do all of these other things. And they thought, oh, I'll just pick it back up after Labor Day. And that was great for them. And I was really happy for them that they were going on vacation. And looking back, I probably should have just taken the summer off too. But it got me thinking, how can I prevent this from happening again next summer? So now I have three different ways that people can work with me. One way is a short time frame, one-on-one, and they can enroll in that any month of the year as long as I have space and availability to work with them. And the second way is a program that I launch quarterly. And so 4 times a year, I am selling the program. And then the rest of the time, I'm delivering the service. And I have a third level program that I launch twice a year. So every 6 months, I am launching that. And I'm creating wait lists for the programs ahead of time. So once the current enrollment period ends and I have people who missed the deadline or missed the cutoff, then getting them on a wait list for the next round and knowing those dates ahead of time and being able to manage expectations for people has been huge for my business, because I realized before I started implementing this launch system, I was on a sales call and then I was on a consulting call, and I was selling and delivering the services all day, every day, and jumping from one to the other. And it was really mentally taxing and exhausting to be transitioning from one conversation where I'm in sales mode to another conversation where I'm trying to provide value, because you don't want to sell, you don't want to coach people on a sales call and give them the information from that you would give to your paying clients, if that makes sense.
And yeah, so, absolutely.
Yeah. So jumping back and forth, I was finding that it was just too much and I needed to solve that problem of how can I have specific times of the year where I'm selling so that the majority of the year I'm doing the things that I love, which is delivering the service.
That sounds great. Very smart. Tara, whom do you know personally who's done a really remarkable job of smashing the plateau?
One of my mentors runs a multi-million dollar company and has been on the Inc. 5000 list 6 times and received a number of other awards. And I think the thing I admire most about the work that he does is that he's always put people first, and he has the same clients that he had over 10 years ago when he started his company, and his company receives awards for being one of the best places to work. And my company is built on connection, building professional relationships, and contributing to society. And that's such a core part of my business that I believe in order to smash plateaus, nobody does it alone. And so you need to have a strong supportive team and audience or clients to help you get through it and not sacrifice the integrity of your business or your relationships in order to smash the plateau, scale, and get to the next level, and that you can have it all. You can do both.
Sounds great. What do we have to look forward to in the near future from you? What's coming up?
My program, Imposter to Influencer, starts again January 7th. And so if anyone wants to learn more about publicity, they can visit my website and sign up for my free 5-day publicity challenge. It's 5 tips that take less than 10 minutes to implement, and they will transform your credibility online and off.
Sounds great. And is that the free gift you wanted to offer, or is there something else?
That is the free gift. It's on my website at tararaybradford.com/PR checklist. And I'm sure you'll put that in the show notes.
We will. And Tara, if somebody wants to go deeper with anything we've discussed today, what's the place they should go to learn more?
TaraRayBradford.com. They can request a complimentary consultation, and I'd be happy to go deeper on any of these topics and talk to them more about it.
Sounds great. Well, Tara, thank you so much for joining us today on Smashing the Plateau and sharing your insights. My guest today has been Tara Bradford, publicity strategist, reputation designer, and international speaker. Thank you again, Tara, for joining us.
Thank you, David.
When you visit the Smashing the Plateau website at smashingtheplateau.com, you'll find a summary of each episode along with the links we mention on the show. Today, we discussed how Tara built trust quickly, what kind of investment generates publicity to drive leads for thought leaders, and how Tara builds consistent revenue in her business. What would you like to hear on Smashing the Plateau? Email me and let me know. That's david@smashingtheplateau.com, or click Get in Touch on our website. Remember to subscribe on whatever platform you listen on and leave a review if you can. Thank you for taking the time to listen to our show. I'll see you on our next episode.